Welcome back, friend. Before we dive into today's topics, I want you to take a deep breath with me. Seriously, right now, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Because today, we're going to talk about some big health topics that might feel overwhelming at first. But here's the thing, knowledge is power. And when you understand what's happening with your health and the health of your loved ones, you're not powerless. You're empowered to make informed choices and have the right conversations with your doctor. I'm here as your advocate to translate the complex medical jargon into language that makes sense and to remind you that taking care of yourself isn't selfish. It's actually the most generous thing you can do for the people who love you. So let's get into it. Let's start with something you've probably heard about but might not fully understand, microplastics. Now, I know what you're thinking. We've been hearing about plastics in the ocean for years. But what researchers are discovering now is that these tiny plastic particles aren't just an environmental problem. They're a personal health concern that may be affecting you and your family right now. Here's what's happening. Functional medicine experts who train other physicians are expressing genuine surprise at how serious this issue has become. One doctor compared microplastics unfavorably to PFAS chemicals. Those are the forever chemicals you might have heard about in water contamination stories. The concerning part? These two types of pollutants may actually work together in your body, compounding their effects in ways we're just beginning to understand. Now, this is cutting-edge research. Most doctors haven't yet incorporated this information into their daily practice, which means your healthcare provider might not bring it up during your annual physical. That's not their fault. The research is simply moving faster than medical education can keep pace with. Building on that reality, this is where you become your own health advocate. During your next doctor's visit, consider asking about environmental toxin exposure. You might say something like, "Doctor, I've been reading about microplastics and environmental toxins. Should I be concerned about exposure, and are there any practical steps I can take to reduce it?" This opens a conversation that puts you in the driver's seat of your own health. But here's where this gets even more concerning, especially if you're a parent. Physicians are observing something truly alarming. Diseases that used to appear in adults are now showing up in elementary school children. We're talking about kids as young as 5 to 9 years old, developing conditions that doctors typically diagnosed in people in their 20s through 40s. Conditions like inflammatory bowel disease and autoimmune disorders are appearing at what medical professionals are calling epidemic proportions in young children. I want to be clear here. This isn't about creating panic. This is about awareness. If you have young children, especially if there's a family history of inflammatory or autoimmune conditions, this is worth discussing with your pediatrician. You might ask, given what we're learning about environmental factors and childhood diseases, should we consider any age-appropriate screening or monitoring? Early awareness means you're prepared and proactive, not reactive. Now, let's talk about something you've definitely seen all over your social media feeds, those weight loss medications everyone's buzzing about, the GLP-1 medications. Maybe a celebrity you follow has endorsed them, or maybe your friend lost 30 pounds and can't stop talking about them. They work, there's no question about that. But there are some important considerations that healthcare experts want you to know before you ask your doctor for a prescription. These medications work by slowing down how quickly your stomach empties and by reducing the appetite signals your brain receives. You eat less, you feel full faster, and the pounds come off. Sounds perfect, right? But here's the catch that not everyone is talking about. Research suggests these medications may cause significant lean muscle mass loss alongside fat loss. Why does that matter? Because muscle tissue is metabolically active. It burns more calories than fat tissue, even when you're just sitting on the couch. When you lose muscle, you're actually making it harder for your body to maintain weight loss after you stop taking the medication. Some doctors are particularly concerned about prescribing these medications to younger people or for extended periods, precisely because of these long-term effects. More importantly, these medications don't address the underlying factors that contributed to weight gain in the first place. They don't teach you how to build sustainable eating habits, they don't address stress eating, they don't help you develop a consistent exercise routine, and they don't heal your relationship with food. They're a tool, potentially a helpful one, but they're not a complete solution. So if you're considering asking your doctor about these medications, here are some questions to bring with you. First, what are the potential effects on my muscle mass, and how can we monitor that during treatment? Second, what lifestyle changes should accompany this medication to support long-term success? Third, how long would I likely need to take this medication, and what happens when I stop? And fourth, have we fully explored other options, including nutrition counseling, structured exercise programs, or addressing underlying health conditions that might be contributing to weight issues? Let me be balanced here. These medications can be genuinely appropriate and helpful for some people, particularly those with significant health risks related to their weight. The goal isn't to dismiss them entirely. It's to ensure you're making an informed decision that considers both the benefits and the potential drawbacks. Some patients benefit most from combining medication with comprehensive lifestyle support. Others might want to try lifestyle interventions first, with medication as a backup plan if those efforts don't produce results. This is a conversation worth having with your healthcare team. Now, let's shift to some genuinely exciting news in genetic medicine. This is the kind of breakthrough that reminds us why all that research funding and those clinical trials matter. CRISPR gene editing technology, which earned its developers a Nobel Prize, is moving from science fiction into real-world treatments that are already helping actual patients. Think of CRISPR as an incredibly precise text editor for your DNA. Just like you can find a typo in a document and correct it, CRISPR can target specific genes and make precise changes. The FDA has already approved CRISPR therapy for sickle cell disease, and this isn't some distant future promise. Patients are receiving this treatment right now. For people with sickle cell disease, this represents a potential one-time treatment that can eliminate those devastating painful crises and dramatically improve quality of life. Researchers are currently running clinical trials exploring CRISPR for preventing cardiovascular disease by editing genes in the liver that control cholesterol production. The technology shows particular promise for conditions caused by single gene mutations, where one specific genetic error causes the entire problem. Now, I want to be realistic about current limitations. These treatments are still expensive and often require hospitalization. Delivering CRISPR to specific organs like the brain or lungs remain technically challenging. Complex conditions that involve multiple genes are harder to address with this technology, and many of the most exciting applications are still years away from widespread availability. But the trajectory is clear. We're moving toward a future where genetic conditions once considered incurable may become treatable or even preventable. If you or a family member has a genetic condition, this is worth bringing up with your doctor. You might ask, are there any CRISPR-based clinical trials currently recruiting patients with my condition? Researchers are developing treatments for Huntington's disease, certain cardiovascular conditions, and they're even exploring ways to potentially prevent Alzheimer's disease. While CRISPR won't replace the importance of healthy lifestyle choices and preventive care, it represents genuine hope for people facing conditions that previously offered little. Now, I want to talk directly to the busy professionals and caregivers listening right now, the ones who consistently put everyone else's needs before their own health, the ones who skip meals, survive on coffee, stay up too late catching up on work, and can't remember the last time they exercised. You tell yourself it's necessary, that your family needs you to work these hours, that there's just no time for self-care right now, that you'll focus on your health once things calm down. But here's the hard truth, and I say this with love. When you develop serious health problems from years of poor eating, lack of exercise, chronic stress, and inadequate sleep, you don't just hurt yourself. You become someone your family must care for rather than someone who can care for them. That scary moment when you can't play with your kids because you're out of breath, that day your adult children have to take time off work to drive you to cardiac appointments, that conversation where your spouse realizes they might lose you decades earlier than expected, this isn't about vanity or selfishness. This is about ensuring you'll be there, physically and mentally capable, for the people and purposes that matter most to you. I'm not asking you to become a marathon runner or eat perfectly every single meal. I'm asking you to start small and be consistent. Choose one meal per day where you focus on whole foods instead of processed options. Add just 10 to 15 minutes of movement to your daily routine, a walk around the block, some stretching, a few simple strength exercises. Prioritize 7 to 8 hours of sleep by establishing a consistent bedtime, even if the laundry doesn't get folded tonight. Find small ways to manage stress. Even 5 minutes of deep breathing before bed can help. And schedule those regular checkups, then actually attend them instead of canceling because something came up at work. If you're noticing warning signs like elevated blood pressure, rising cholesterol, increasing weight, or prediabetes markers, now is the time to course correct. These early indicators are your body's way of signaling that changes are needed before conditions become more serious and harder to reverse. Consider working with your healthcare provider to develop a realistic plan that fits your actual life, not some idealized version where you have unlimited time and resources. You don't need perfection. You need consistency and a commitment to treating your health as the foundation that everything else in your life depends on. Now, let's shift to some genuinely exciting news in genetic medicine. This is the kind of breakthrough that reminds us why all that research funding and those clinical trials matter. CRISPR gene editing technology, which earned its developers a Nobel Prize, is moving from science fiction into real-world treatments that are already helping actual patients. Think of CRISPR as an incredibly precise text editor for your DNA. Just like you can find a typo in a document and correct it, CRISPR can target specific genes and make precise changes. The FDA has already approved CRISPR therapy for sickle cell disease, and this isn't some distant future promise. Patients are receiving this treatment right now. For people with sickle cell disease, this represents a potential one-time treatment that can eliminate those devastating painful crises and dramatically improve quality of life. Researchers are currently running clinical trials exploring CRISPR for preventing cardiovascular disease by editing genes in the liver that control cholesterol production. The technology shows particular promise for conditions caused by single gene mutations, where one specific genetic error causes the entire problem. Now, I want to be realistic about current limitations. These treatments are still expensive and often require hospitalization. Delivering CRISPR to specific organs like the brain or lungs remain technically challenging. Complex conditions that involve multiple genes are harder to address with this technology, and many of the most exciting applications are still years away from widespread availability. But the trajectory is clear. We're moving toward a future where genetic conditions once considered incurable may become treatable or even preventable.